Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel, live broadcast and subsequent podcast. Today, we are talking to author Danielle Ledbury about her really inspiring book, Why We Run, Tales of Fell and Trail Running in the Lake District. Welcome, Danielle. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me. This is quite exciting. Awesome. Super lovely to chat to people about running and books.
Brilliant. Yes, two of our favourite things, running and books about running. So have you already been for a run today? How's it been panning out for you so far?
I haven't run today yet, but I am planning to go this evening, yeah, which I'm quite looking forward to.
Good on you. I can never run in the evening. I'm always like, oh yeah, I'll do this in the evening, I'll do that in the evening, but as soon as we've put Finley to bed, I'm just like, no, I'm tired, I'm going to watch an episode of The Good Wife.
I do feel like that a lot, but my husband, he's quite good at, like this morning he was like, are you going to run tonight? I think without him sort of like doing that extra little, you should do it.
Yeah.
I'd probably be like, no.
Yeah, it's good to have a cheerleader, isn't it? We're going to talk today about Why We Run, this excellent book that you have made. It's a really beautiful book. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you about it. But first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, Danielle? Like, how did you personally find running?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I always ran in school. Like, I enjoyed running in school, but never like got it really into it competitively or anything like that, and then didn't really do anything to do with it for a long time, and then I was doing a bit of I was working in a pub, and they wanted people to sign up to like to help raise money for a local charity, and they were sort of looking for people to run for them and do like the local Bath half, like the half marathon in the town. So I remember sort of thinking, oh yeah, that'd be quite like, all right, I'm sure I can raise some money for you, and signed up, and I just found it so unbelievably hard to run that half marathon, like, and I just like walked loads, like, right, and just thought, I just remember being like determined afterwards and thought, right, I want to do it again, and I want to try and get around the whole thing like without feeling completely broken.
Yeah.
So I guess sort of started from there.
Started from there, yeah.
Good fun.
Was that a road half marathon, I'm presuming?
It was a road half marathon. So back then I guess that was at a time of my life where I wasn't particularly into the outdoors. Well, I mean, I loved being outside. I've always loved being outside, and I've always loved being active, but I guess I didn't really know that much about the outdoor communities and the kind of adventures that were out there that you could have, really. So at that point it was just about a fitness thing, I suppose, and thinking, this is interesting, like my body feels quite broken trying to try this. I wonder if I can get fitter and get better. And then I started to think that I wanted to go out running, and then I wanted to go on footpaths because I wanted to kind of just play around on footpaths, and then I signed up to something called the Jurassic Coast 100, which was just, I liked the idea of like, it was like a challenge, like you had a 24 hours to do 100k along the Jurassic coast, and you could either walk or run it. It was, again, that sort of thing. So, and I just wanted to see if that was even humanly possible. Now I understand that there are things such as ultra running and trail running and fell running. I had no idea that world existed back then. So now I know it's something that people do on a, like, all the time. But at that point I was like, is this possible? Can my body do that? So yeah, I don't know. It was a great experience. Yeah. The first half was amazing. The second half was really hard.
Yeah, that's a really long way. That's amazing that you did that. And so so you're obviously a runner now, and you've written this amazing book. But what is your day job? Are you connected to writing in some way?
So not necessarily connected to writing. I used to work as an art teacher, and I used to teach art and photography in a secondary school. We're in a few different secondary schools. And then we moved to the Lake District. And at the time, there just wasn't any art teacher jobs. So I was sort of thinking, what else can I do? Are we really want to move to the lakes? Because by this point, we'd got really into running and cycling and climbing. And we wanted to move up here. So then I found a temporary job for a year at the Outward Bound Trust, working. So they ran outdoor residential programs, which are all about engaging young people with the outdoors and giving people an experience they might have never experienced before with the outdoors. So I kind of work in the office communicating with the schools. So I'm a bit of a link between the schools and the centre. But I guess I still just absolutely love being creative. And so I suppose now I have a job that's very much to do with the outdoors, but it's not particularly creative in any way. So that's why when I was furloughed for a while and I had some time on my hands, really, I wanted to get back to being creative and doing something creatively. So started picking up my camera again, really.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that was in COVID. Yes. And then how did it work then? Did you think, oh, I could write a book? Or did you just start taking pictures and then everything sort of spiraled from there? What was the process?
It was more the second one, really. So I really wanted to do something creative. I wanted to do a project, and I wanted to do a project about people, because I thought, I'm quite comfortable taking pictures of landscapes. Like, I like doing that a lot, but I thought I haven't really done like a project that was focused on people before. So I thought, I always think when you're doing something creative, it's good to kind of challenge yourself, do something like, I feel like a lot about creativity is about learning and experimenting, and sometimes you can learn and experiment the best if you're doing something completely unknown to you. So I wanted to focus something on people, and at the same time I was just realizing how important running was to myself and how much it had become a big part of my life. And chatting to other people, I could tell that there was something similar but for different reasons. So I thought this would just be an interesting starting point to interview somebody and photograph them. And originally I planned just to have some portraits and then the words next to the portraits, and that was kind of how I pictured it. But once I started going out with people and photographing them, and then I started photographing them running in the landscape, and then I just felt like, I've always loved books. I just think this would make a really beautiful, that felt like the ending point for it, where I could aim for this project to be. So to turn it into a book, really. So I think from early on, I was thinking, I'd like this to be a book. I didn't know if that was just a complete pipe dream or or a reality at the time, but... Yeah, that's sort of how it started.
So at what point did you get in contact with a publisher?
So I was probably working on the project for quite a while. So I started to interview different people and just started to get a bit of confidence and message people and think, who would I quite like to hear their story? And so then I started to message a few particular people. But then at the same time, I was just open to anybody that also wanted to be interviewed. So my friend Katie, she helped me make a website and the Instagram and a submission form so people could submit their stories. And then we would basically look through and And I would try and like find a way to meet with that person and choose a location and then go and interview them. So I kind of wanted that balance of really famous people, famous runners, really well-known runners, but also anybody, like, yeah, someone that was, yeah, just an ordinary person that might have a really interesting story or just want to be a part of it. So, you asked me about publishers. So then,
oh, yeah, I forgot that too. I was just queuing up for next question.
So effectively, I was thinking I really want it to be a book. So I started applying to different publishers, and I kept getting no's. I kept getting people saying, we really love your photos. So I suppose I started applying once I had a bit of a body of work, because I put together a bit of a PDF with what I thought a book might look nice at looking like, with some interviews and some stories to show them a bit of an example of, this is what I'm doing, like, this is the body of work I've got so far, and this is my plan for it. Would you be interested, basically?
Yeah.
And yeah, I got a lot of no's. I got loads of no's. Loads and loads of no's. Lots of people, they basically, all of them sort of said that they really liked the photography, they liked the idea, but they just didn't think it was quite commercial enough. So, yeah, so they just didn't want to take it on. And yeah, I'm not sure. Like, for a while I was thinking, oh, this, no one likes it. No one's going to, I like this idea. I thought it was
good. Yeah, it's a brilliant idea. I bet they're shooting themselves in the foot now. It's like the people that didn't sign the Beatles.
Yeah. But I think it was actually interesting, because I think having setbacks in that kind of project is really good, because then my mum, she kept saying to me, just keep trying. She was like, people apply to thousands of publishers till they find the right one. And my mum would check in on me and just be like, nope, keep going.
honestly, like, so many publishers say no, and you just have to find the right one in the end.
And I think so then eventually I was doing some volunteering work at a local gallery, and the lady there said, oh, there's a local publisher I know called Dave, and he does books all about the lakes, and he might be interested, you should apply. So I messaged him and I asked him, like, can you meet me for a coffee and I'll just pitch it to you. And he met me, and yeah, and I think he was the right publisher for the book. Like, I do think, like, all those ones I applied to before, it wouldn't have created what we created without Dave's input into it. Like, he definitely was the right person to take it on, which was really good. So I think, yeah, just keep going until you find the right.
And the book is really beautiful. Like, as you've said, like, the photos are amazing. People picked up on that initially, immediately, didn't they? And why did you decide to focus on why we run rather than, there's so many books, isn't there? Like, mine included, like, it's just focusing on how we run and there's not really much of that, like, emotional background, backstory to it. I was just, like, really struck by one of the phrases from Craig Amore in the book, and he calls running his emotional CPR. And I was like, yes, that he has hit the nail on the head. Why did you choose the topic of why we run rather than how to run, which so many people focus on? It's just really a great topic.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think probably for two reasons. Like you said, I think there are lots of books about how you run and things like that, and I know I don't have that kind of knowledge level. Like, I'm not a coach, I'm not hugely experienced. Like, I feel like I've done quite a bit, but I don't think I could write something about how people do it. But I do just feel, like, excited by or intrigued by when people are talking about their running and they just start to light up. And I think that is just something, like, that's something kind of in deep within you. And so that was what I was interested in. I was interested in the bit that made people, when I was chatting to them about their running, the bit that made them light up, the bit that made them enthused about it. And you can see that love on it when people talk about it. So yeah, to start with, I was really adamant. I was like, I don't want anything about records, I don't want anything about how to do. I was like, no, it's not gonna have any of that. But then Dave Dave did talk me around and was like, there needs to be a balance. I was like,
it is really nice. It's really nice. Like, you've got like someone who I've never heard of before, and then you've just got Steve Birkinshaw, like Wainwright's record breaker back in the day, talking about that, but then also talking like very candidly about his exhaustion afterwards. And I just thought there was a really nice mix of, like, there's Joss Naylor in there, absolute fell running legend, and then there's just people you've never heard of. And it's really nice because I think that's what fell and trail running is like everybody is just in there together, and none of these like elite athletes want to be like put on a pedestal or anything, do they? They just want to be in the throng, in the milieu of people. I like the way you also divided it into three chapters. Can you just tell us a little bit about why you decided, like, what the chapters were and why you decided to put people in the different chapters?
Yeah, definitely. So when we were getting to that sort of design stage and we were thinking about putting the book together, the designer was saying that it'd be really good to have chapters. It gives like a bit of cohesion to the different sections of the book, a bit of a flow, and also a bit of a break and a breathing space between things. So I was trying to think of like different themes that had kind of been coming up and how I could order people, well, not order people, but put them into sections of different themes. And there was a few kind of clear themes that were kind of coming out, which were absolutely fascinating. And yeah, one was challenge. That was really clear. So there was a lot of people where that sense of self-development and challenging yourself and seeing what your potential is and feeling that challenge of the elements, or perhaps there were some people that had gone through some form of challenge in their life or challenge with their running, and running had been a real part of the process of that. So challenge was a clear theme that started to come out, which was a really interesting one. The first one in the book is connection, and that theme was all about, essentially there was people that were feeling like a connection to the landscape or a connection to others. Like you said, the community part of running was really, really important and talked about a lot, actually. So that connection, because I think running does, it creates so much connection to other people, to communities, to the landscape. You feel a part of something when you're running and being part of a running club and things like that. So yeah, that was connection. And then the final chapter is healing. I'm sure, as loads of your listeners will know, it's and will have felt, is that running has it's an incredible tool for both your physical and mental well-being, and that came out a lot. It came out in a lot of interviews, and there were some really beautiful and powerful stories where running has been a really big part of the process of healing, or from some kind of grief or trauma or challenging situation that someone might have gone through in their life. So that was a really clear and powerful chapter in the book that came out.
Yeah, I like that one was the last one, because it sort of took you through the connection and then the challenges, and it's like, oh yes, right, rearing up, and then the healing. It's sort of like, it's sort of like, oh, the calm, isn't it, after all the storms gone past. Yeah, and I was really struck by the George Foster you interviewed, ex-military guy, and I really just thought these words hit the nail on the head as well. He said, real toughness is about dealing with emotions rather than ignoring them. So, yeah, I just thought that was great. And I thought it was brilliant how everybody has a slightly different story, but there'll be somebody that everybody that reads this book can identify with. Like, you've got people with diabetes, and like somebody that was diagnosed with being celiac, to like people talking about race. You've got people talking about being queer in there, people who are in love, people who have just broken up from a long relationship, people who have had like parents dying young, or a bereavement of a friend or a family member. How did you you said you got the website to so people could apply, but how did you choose the people? It must have been really difficult to wade through all those stories and actually choose the best one. There's loads of stories out there, but choose the ones that you could portray the best.
It was really, really hard, actually. To start with, when I started the project, I was just trying to interview anybody. I was like, anyone that wants to be involved, it'd be great. And I think I also really liked that way of working, because like when people would apply, they would only put little bits of information. And I never really knew until I met somebody what their real passion, what their real story was going to be. And I got way better at interviewing people as the project went on. So George was actually one of my very, very first interviews. And my first interviews with him, I remember saying why do you run? Thanks, George. Done. And it was like a 2-minute thing. And then we just spent the rest of the day running together and it was lovely. But then I worked on it for a few years. So by the end of the project, my later interviews were like these really beautiful, in-depth discussions where we discussed all sorts of things. And then and I would record it all and then I would transcribe all of the content, which took a really long time. And then send it to the editors, but I would highlight like which sections I really thought were the powerful bits and what I thought was the real story. And then we would work together to kind of pull it out and piece it all together. So essentially those later interviews were so much better. I went back and re-interviewed everybody that I did at the start.
Okay.
And I just remember talking to George and also my Dave, my publisher, who also edited the book as well. At one point when I was working on it, I was trying to get up to, I think, 40 interviews. I just had this number in my head. I thought, that seems like a good body of work. I'm going to try and make it to that amount, which was really challenging because at one point I was like working full time and I was really heavily pregnant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then, so I got up to about 35 in the end. I think I was about 8 months pregnant. I was up on Dale Head and I was like, I think this is the last one. I'm not going to do any more.
Wow.
This is the last interview.
Yeah, but I bet the last interviewee was like, don't go into labour early while we're on the top of Dale Head here.
But it was just because once you've got a little kid, I just knew, I was like, my time is going to be so much harder to do this when I've got my little bubs. So
yeah.
I was kind of on this mission at that point to just interview anybody, and quite often from the people that submitted, I would look down the list, and a lot of the time it would be who's local, who could I actually meet up with, or if they said something I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Or essentially it did get to a point where I was starting to be a little bit picky because I had a lot of I wanted to show a variety of people because I think running, it kind of transcends everything. Like it's so applicable to anybody and so accessible as well. So for a book that I wanted to inspire others to take a chance or get out the door or give it a go, I wanted to know that it would appeal to a really wide range of people. So I did start to have to think, right,
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm missing, say, an older runner. So I remember thinking, I'm missing an older runner from the book. Who can I find? And then spoke to Kat and she said, oh, Leslie Malarkey from the club. She's amazing. You've got to speak to her. So
that was fantastic to see her in the book because she's my friend too. She came on a photo shoot for Trail Running Magazine years ago and she was so lovely. She said, come and stay with me whenever you want to. And me actually did. Went and stayed with her. And then just recently, me and my friend Sarah went to do a recce of the Frog Graham round, which we're not going to do. It's far too stressful to do the whole thing like at that speed. But we did a bit of it, and it was absolutely brilliant. And we stayed with her, and it was just so lovely to see her again. And then I saw her at the Kendal Mountain Festival as well. She did the 10K, so yeah. Got her in my film. So if you watch that film, you'll see Leslie running up that hill, and then I've got her finishing as well. She didn't take that much longer than me to do it. And I was like, oh my goodness.
She's such an inspiration. She's like
75 now, or like...
Yeah, she's in her 70s, and she didn't even start running until she was 62.
Yeah,
like that's insane.
Well, I know.
It's so inspirational, particularly when you think, oh, like maybe I'm a bit old to get into this or something. It's like, no, you're not at all. Like, there's much more life and fun ahead of you, which Leslie is a brilliant voice for that. So
she really is. Yeah, she's amazing, and she does so many races as well. It's like like you could just go and run anywhere that age, but to race as well, and she's serious about those races as well. She's really good. Yeah,
she loves it.
We just did our Santa run on Sunday, and I was beaten by my 80-year-old running friend Morag. She's just turned 80. She's got leukemia, and she's having another round of chemo next week. And there she is trotting along in front of us. We were walking because we had Finley on our shoulders. He refused to run. So yeah, it's just amazing. I'm just so inspired by all these older runners. I love that they're out there running old, because I want to be them basically when I get there.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like I want to be like her when I'm older. I think. And that's what I hope comes across in the book, is that sort of level of inspiration.
It really is really inspiring. And I thought it was really interesting as well. You put in several, there was a queer one as well, and somebody who was a lesbian as well. And you just, because I'm not that, I didn't think of any of the challenges that they might have or any of the problems they might have with a normal running group and why they'd want to set their own group up. So that was just really enlightening, and I really enjoyed reading that.
It's been really interesting because a lot of people have been interested to hear that story like after the book. I think, like you're saying yourself, it's like something that you might not have known was even happening. So they were one that I targeted because I was thought I was like, if I'm putting this book out, I want to make sure I've got like all sorts of voices in here. So a message, and again, everybody I messaged was just like, sounds great, really up to be part of it. So it's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were really interesting. It was really different, which is, I think, good.
Yeah. I liked their interview because it was like, there was a few of them, wasn't there? There was loads of them. So there was like different people, whereas the other interviews are just like you talking to one person. But I liked the way you didn't feel the need to be constrained by that throughout the whole book. You were like, no, there's several people here. We're going to have Toby and someone else and Maisie and Molly and all these different people talking. And that was really nice. They got a real sense of the community that they had created for themselves. So I just thought that was a really good way of displaying that.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that worked.
I think it was very nice.
Really, really important for me to keep the book in like a really interview style. So the words are pretty like, I really wanted it to sound like the person and like make sure we didn't change things and that sort of thing. So I really, because again, I wanted it to sound like people were literally listening to them chatting.
like Joss Naylor. You can hear Joss's voice coming through, can't you? Because you've put it in his like the little dialect and the little idioms that he uses. You can really hear him talking.
Exactly. Quite often when I would interview someone, I would send them the text afterwards, and then they would send it back to me and they'd say, oh, I've edited it, and it would be really like polished and really like neated up. And I remember then chatting to them being like, I'm sorry, I'm going to change it back. I was like, I don't want it neat and polished. I was like, I want it to just sound raw and like you are.
Like them, yeah, definitely. Yeah, like more conversational.
Chats where I was like, no.
I think you did well to stand your ground there, because that really does come across as like they do feel like you're talking to them. And you covered race as well, which was good, because I was flicking through the book and I was like, oh, these are all white people. Like, is this like, was it people... Did you just have people that lived in the Lake District, or did you also have people who did a lot of running in the Lake District?
Yeah, it became a bit of a mix, really. So mostly it's people that live in the lakes, but there are some people that had a real connection to the lakes and did a lot of running in the lakes. So it was definitely, as long as people had that connection and the story and was based in the lakes, that was kind of where I decided to stand with it. But yeah, Zuki, again, that was, so like you were saying, so essentially I was doing this project and then I just got to a point where I was like, everybody's white. I was just like, and I can't, I was, I just thought, I can't not represent something for the future. Like, I thought it's important. So I contacted the Black Trail Runners and I sort of said, have you got anybody that wants to be involved that like runs in the lakes?
I'm always doing that to them. I'm like, can someone come? Like,
I think it's important to show this voice, and I know that you guys are like a fantastic voice for what you're doing. So, can we work together, basically? And actually, then George Foster messaged me and said, I've met Zuki at some races. He's nice. Great. I've chatted to him about your project. Here's his number. So it actually came about that way. Actually, a lot of the people in the book did come from that way, where I would say to somebody, I would interview somebody and they would say, do you know what? I know this person that's got an amazing story. And then before I knew it, I'd get their number and I'd be talking to them. It was just such an absolute privilege to, I just can't believe it, like spending my spare like weekends and things like that and evenings in the summer out with these people, hearing these fantastic stories. They were just, I think once I started it as a photography project, but once I started to hear these such inspirational people talking, I was just like, wow, like it's got to be bigger than that. Like they've got to have a chapter. There's got to be much more to their voice. So it became jointly about basically the words and the photos, rather than when I started it, it was more just a photography project. And I thought people talking about running would be an interesting way to get to see what they, how they talked about it.
I was just thinking, if you've got all those tapes that you have to transcribe, have you ever thought about making a podcast out of it?
It did go through my mind at some point. I thought, podcast could be a really fun way to continue.
Like a website and a podcast. Like it just continues like a Why We Run podcast. Yeah. I don't know if there already is a Why We Run podcast. But
I don't know.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that could be quite fun. That would be great. Exactly. I mean, I do love talking to people and interviewing people. It's just amazing.
Yeah, people have such great stories. It's really, really amazing. And talking of the stories, I really wanted to ask you, which one did you personally find the most moving? Did you have one where you were just like really struck by it, like a really heartfelt story?
There's so many.
I know, it'd be really hard. It's like choosing which is your favourite kid.
I think it was just amazing, because each person, like I said, I didn't really know what they were going to say, or when I met up with them, I didn't really know, like they would choose the location. I say, choose a location that's special to you. And then we would just have these days out in the fells, and just hearing them speak was just incredible. So I think there's quite a few where that someone took me off guard a little bit, or who should I talk about? So my friend Mark, who's in the book, I met him traveling years ago out in Nepal, and then he got in contact with me and said, I'm moving to the lakes. I've just seen your project and I'd love to be a part of it. So he now lives in the lakes and he's a part of the lakes community. But he came and stayed with me for a bit whilst he was like trying to move here. And then we went out and spent the day in the fells, and he wanted to be a part of it. I remember we did our run and then we sat down afterwards and we'd done the interview, and then I said, is there anything else that you want to talk about, that you'd like someone that might be in a similar position to you to hear your story? And then he sort of said, I've skirted around it, and I'll be annoyed if I don't actually talk about it. So, and then he just came out with all this really beautiful and incredibly powerful things about when he went through PTSD and recovery from injuries from the army, and I guess like I'd never known that sort of side of him. And I think feeling like I just felt hugely privileged to give people the opportunity to share that voice and that story. And I think his was a really powerful one. And it was hard for him to share at the time. So I think that was, it felt really special to be able to do that with him.
Kind of like a day of therapy that they're having with you there, like getting it all off their chest and being heard.
There was a few that were definitely like that. I had a couple of people that said to me, I've never actually shared this story before.
Wow.
Yeah, so like Katie, my friend Katie Milburn, she is in the book as well, and her story is, incredibly, like, she's just amazing. She's absolutely incredible. Yeah. And she went through, she lost her partner, and it was a hugely traumatic experience. Yeah. I think hearing those sorts of stories, you realise just how incredible someone is. And you never really know what someone might have gone through, or what they might be dealing with at that point of time. Yeah. I think is what I learned, hearing these things and what people have gone through, and just how powerful running and the running community can be, to be that little help. and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. Like Katie turned up to, she ended up going to a race, and she was at such a low point, like a really dangerously low point. And then she said she wasn't going to go, she was going to turn around, she was going to leave. And then before she knew it, someone recognised her and said, oh, I know you, you've just joined the club. And chatted away to her, and she, before she knew it, she was off racing, yeah. Done. It was the start of a really powerful journey of healing for her. Yeah. And I think it's just amazing, because that person might not have even known how much they've helped her, mm-hmm. just by being someone there, chatting at a race and being friendly to someone. So, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I think running does save a fair few lives, doesn't it? In general, it does save lives. And as Craig Amore put it, emotional CPR. I just thought that was brilliant. It puts it in those emergency terms as well, doesn't it? And those vital, essential, oh my god, you need some emergency emotional CPR running. I just thought that was a brilliant way of putting it. And so just coming on to a couple of final questions before we have some quick fire questions for you, just some little fun questions at the end. So what did you learn from creating this book?
Oh, wow. I've learned so much. I've learned
Talking for another half hour now.
Oh, it's so hard to narrow it down. I have learned that. Thinking about a creative project, or if you're trying to work towards something and achieve something, that I've learned that, interestingly, I've never worked on something that long, and it went through huge waves of buzzes of excitement and this is going really well, to just completely the energy sort of dropping and nothing happening, and then I'd pick it back up again. And I think that just accepting that sometimes things will just drop off, mm-hmm. and you can always pick them back up again, and you don't have to completely stop. If you just keep chipping away at something, you will end up reaching your goals, I think. I had huge periods of time where I had no time, no energy, and I would just say to myself, just send one email when you get home. Just do 10 minutes of editing each night, just 5 minutes. And I think that applies to running as well. It's just do that little bit. And I think I've learned that to achieve something, actually it's that just continually doing a little bit, just chipping away, and you will suddenly find yourself at an end result you didn't know that you could achieve.
That's so interesting that you've said that, because a big race, an ultra, 50 mile or something, or a book, it seems like a really big thing. But if you just do every Friday, with my book, I did every Friday. I was that's sacrosanct, it's religiously my day for the book, bar a few. But every Friday, and you said about the running, just 10 minutes. So, I've got to go and do a run soon. And the thing that puts people off is that they think they have to go and do a big thing, or it'd be really hard, or spend the whole day doing it. But now you've said that, I'm just going to go and run just 3 or 4 miles today.
And I felt that happened so much in the book, when the people I spoke to, everyone would say, life's really hard, life's really busy, but if you just convince yourself to just get out the door, mm-hmm. just for a little bit, by the time you're out, actually normally it's fine, you'll be out for much longer and you'll feel much better. It's just try not to focus on that big task. It's just that, just do that little bit and it will just get you going.
Little and often.
I learned that a lot, both in running and in doing something, a project.
Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic book and I absolutely recommend everybody to buy it. Where can everybody get their hands on it?
Ah, great. So so my publisher is called Inspired by Lakeland, Lake Space Publisher. So it's available online there. You can also look on our social channel, so why we underscore run. And that's our Instagram, and on there there's like the link tree, and you'll be able to click on there and get through to our website or to the book or to all of our other media that we've been working on. I've been working on. And then also it's available in all of the shops. Well, I don't say all of them, but everywhere I go it seems
all
to be available
good ones.
In the Lakes, which is brilliant. So any local Lakes-based bookshops, and we're now in Booths as well. So lots of places in the Lakes. Yeah. Or online.
Fantastic. And everybody should get following you on Instagram as well. I'll link up to everything in the film description below once we finish the broadcast, and also in the podcast as well, because I turn it into a podcast at the end. Before we do the quickfire questions, they're just silly little questions, I just want to just give you a taste of everybody who's been watching live. So if you haven't already put a live comment and you want to me to read one out to Danielle, then do it now so that I can read some more to her after the questions. But Sean O'Keefe, he says hi. He also says Katie's story was a real tearjerker for him as well. And Tony Reeves says hi both. Tadeusz Cantwell says hi as well. And I've got to say get well soon to Tony as well, because he is in bed with a chest infection.
Oh, get well soon, Tony.
And Johnny Doyle says hi as well. And Coolin Olympia says a great idea for a book and guest. So everybody has really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming on, Danielle. I'm just going to do some quick fire questions about you and your running. Okay, flapjack or gels?
Flapjack.
Excellent answer. After a race, beer or wine?
Oh, probably beer.
Excellent. That is the right answer. And this is a good one for you as an author: Kindle or real book?
Real book. I just can't beat the tactileness of something that's real.
I know, me too. And I'm in the Green Runners now, so I'm like, oh, I should be being eco-friendly and not having paper. But I still, the thought of a Kindle doesn't appeal to me.
I'm also really dyslexic, so reading on screens I find really quite hard. But a book where you can like fold a page down or come back to it, or I don't know, I find it much easier.
You can put your finger along it as well, like it's like looking down rather than up. Yeah. Music on your run or birdsong? This is good for you as well as an artist. Classical art or modern art, which do you prefer?
Oh, that's really hard. Probably modern art, yeah.
Yeah, awesome answer. Camping or holiday cottage?
Definitely camping.
Awesome. Seaside run or mountain run?
Definitely the mountains. I just love the hills. Mind you, like the coastal paths are a lot hillier than you think they're going to be.
Yeah, so maybe both. Yeah. And then the final quickfire question, tea, as in t-shirt, or tree? That refers to teas, not trees.
Always a tree.
Awesome. Oh, they are very good answers. Today says, that sounds like a great book. And also Tony, suffering from the chest infection, Tony says, great to hear your process, Danielle. Thank you for sharing. Also very interesting how it changed over time. Oh, he's got one final question. Have you got time for just one final question? He says, would you have changed anything?
Oh, that's really hard to, I mean, would I have changed it? I mean, in all honesty, there's so many things that I look back and I think, oh, I wish I could change that. I wish I could have changed that and that and that. But I think with any creative project, I remember speaking to a really good photographer who's done a book, and he just said to me, he was like, the thing is, you as a creative are always going to see where you could improve, because that you're just always, we're always our own like worst critic.
Yeah.
but you just have to draw a line at some point, and that's that. So that's, I guess that's what happened. So yes, if I could redo it all and work on it forever, I would.
Yeah, well, maybe you can if you're going to do a podcast. You could do a podcast and a website that just keeps growing and growing and growing. This could be your thing. It could be really fun.
Yeah, and there's so many more stories out there as well to tell. So, I would have put way more people in the book if I could have done, but the publisher was like, page limit.
Book two, perhaps. That could be a good one, a good next one. Awesome. Oh, well, thank you so much, Danielle. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you today. Best of luck with the book sales. Everybody go and buy the book. It's highly recommended. I think it's absolutely wonderful. The photography is beautiful. The pictures of the people are beautiful. And we didn't even touch on the fact that there's maps in there as well to inspire you to go and do your own Lately Restricted adventures. There's like the Bob Graham. There's the Abraham T Round. There's like Joss Naylor's Lakes, Meres and Waters. There's loads of different maps in there. Absolutely fantastic book. Definitely put it on your Christmas list for Santa. So thank you so much, Danielle. It's been great to hear from you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Bye, everybody. And thank you for watching, for listening.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.